From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, December the 8th, 2009. Every week, Directions Media brings you the most current news, trends, and opinions on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This week, we'll look at two announcements out of the U.S. Geological Survey, the new National Map Viewer, and U.S. Topo, the next generation of 7.5-minute digital topographic maps. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Discover and share geographic content by joining ArcGIS Online, a web-based repository of maps, layers, tools, and more. For more information, visit www.esri.com/AGOLsharing.
Last week, the U.S. Geological Survey celebrated their 125 years of topographic mapping, and with that celebration, there were two announcements, one of which was the new National Map Viewer, which is in a beta form, which we'll talk about first. And secondly, we'll talk about the U.S. Topo, a new digital version of the standard 7.5-minute topo maps that we're all used to using and know and love. The first thing we'll look at is the viewer itself, and this is typical of some of the other map viewers that you're used to seeing as an online mapping solution. It's got some nice little ways to view a base map, just road networks, political boundaries. It also has a way to swap over to a topographic data. It has another button where you can push to bring up the imagery, either satellite or high-altitude photography imagery, and then you can look at an imagery and map hybrid. I think unique to this viewer is a little box in the upper left-hand corner, which is called the GIS Toolbox. And what this allows you to do is to look at ways to either ask a rather advanced query using some of the layers stored in the national map. You can do things like draw a ring boundary, such as a 1, 2, or 3 mile circular ring around a particular point. You can get elevation data by using the mouse. So there's a few things that you can do by using this little toolbox. You can annotate the map, or you can import a KML file. So there's a lot of things you can do with this, but the interface I think is the one we want to really drill down on, and it in itself presents you again with a few of these features, but is a little quirky. You have to be familiar with some of the map layers that the USGS provides. The query mechanism is not very straightforward. There is a wizard that it takes you through to get the result, but you kind of have to know a little bit of SQL in the process. Not quite as straightforward as what you would like to find, I think, in kind of a 2009 version of an online map viewer. Yes, it's in a beta form. They've got some work to do. I think the USGS would benefit by feedback from people who could bang on this thing a little bit more and really drill into some of the things that they could do to improve. So,
whereas there are all these quirky things, there are some real positives here, and I think we need to highlight those as well. This new viewer is powered by Palantera, which is a tool from the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. So we're reusing technology, and that's a good thing. Saving money by not reinventing the wheel. That's terrific. You noted the buttons along the top right to allow you to switch between base map and topo shaded imagery and imagery hybrid. I really like that because it looks just like Google Maps, and people are very familiar with that. Now, once you move away from that part of the interface, you see some familiar things. There's a slider to change the scale, which again looks very Google Maps-like, will look familiar to anybody who's used an online mapping application in the last couple of years. And that's when it starts getting a little bit scary. Then there are some things that you may not be sure what they are. Over on the far left, it says overlays, and that's written vertically. And you have to realize that that's actually related to an arrow in the middle of the left-hand side of the screen that you have to click on to enable what we would refer to as a table of contents. I'm not sure everybody's going to even see that, especially those who haven't worked with more powerful kinds of GIS tools. Over on the other side, there's a similar kind of arrow, which is where your results may end up if you do some queries. Now, the other part that I found very challenging was this GIS toolbox, which, again, like these two bars on the left and right, you have to know to expand to give yourself more tools. And once you do that, there's a series of tabs. And just from an aesthetic point of view, the tabs don't really quite look like the tabs that you might be familiar with in other applications. They're kind of squashed together, and they're not elegant. And maybe that's a minor thing, but it just doesn't have the look of something that's polished. Now, if you move down through the tabs, there's a standard tab, an advanced tab, an annotation tab, and a USGS tab. I had a very hard time figuring out where to look for the tool that I might want to use. So, for example, if I wanted to do a query, is that in the standard toolbar? Well, to me, doing a query against a map is pretty standard. But I guess according to the USGS, doing a query is an advanced kind of tool. So you actually have to look in the advanced toolbar. And then you have to figure out which of the little pictures is, in fact, the query tool. And it's actually, it looks like a little database symbol, sort of an oil drum kind of look. And so I even had a hard time navigating within that interface. The other challenge I had was once I clicked on a tool, in particular in the standard toolbar, although actually in the advanced one as well, the cursor doesn't change form to let you know that that tool is activated. So I had a hard time being sure whether or not I've got the tool that I wanted. So I too sort of ran into some challenges.
And I'm glad you pointed out about the overlays. That was actually not very intuitive for me. In fact, until you mentioned it, I hadn't even played with that area of the viewer. The one thing also not necessarily intuitive is that as you look down the selection of overlays, you know, obviously you have to click a box to select that particular feature. And then what happens in the display is, in particular, when you want to zoom in or you want to select something, you are presented with a box. In other words, if you hold the mouse button down, you get a box. And when you release the mouse button, then the individual features within the map are highlighted, which is kind of nice, but not necessarily very intuitive.
This really feels like it's aimed at professionals, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has that feel. It has that feel. It's not a Google map.
And that's a little bit disappointing because the national map is the citizen's map as much as it is the professional's map. And I'd really like to see it get more exposure and more use by regular folks. And I think part of the way to enable that is to make a viewer which is very intuitive, very easy to use. I'd love to be able to send K-12 students to the National Map Viewer and have them make maps and ask questions and so forth. But right now, this is just not really appropriate for that group of people.
Well, and I'd hate to say that it is totally unuseful to the average viewer, but I think what the USGS really needed to do is sit down and say, well, who is this viewer focused on? Who is the end result? Who is the recipient of this information? And if it was the professional, then yeah, I can see that you would expect them to drill down to get to know the interface a little bit better. I don't think it's geared towards the average citizen. I think there are other mechanisms out there, other online map viewers that do that task better.
Right. And I think what we need to do is ask our listeners to take a look at this new viewer, bang on it, read the supporting documentation. There's information about the beta itself. There's some help and support documents, a quick start, an FAQ. So have a look at all that stuff and get feedback to the USGS so that this viewer will be what we all would like it to be and as much as it can be. Now, the other announcement made last week as part of this celebration was the formal announcement of the digital quads, and that process has been going on for a while. The first announcement in that process was back in June, where they announced the digital maps beta. Those GeoPDF files had only a handful of layers. They had the NAEP imagery, census transportation layers, geographic names, and the collar information. Now, with the launch of what is now being called US Topo, the hydrographic layers and the contours have been added. So now you've got a full set of layers. The only challenge with this launch is that there's only 748 of these US Topo maps right now, and they're all in the state of Kansas. But it's a great place to start and to have a look at the topos and to see if that's something that's going to be useful again, to the professional population who use geospatial, and also to the citizenry. There's sort of two parts to working through the U.S. Topo product. One is you have to go to the USGS store to locate the topo that you're interested in. And that is a little bit challenging in and of itself. I applaud USGS's use of a Google map as a starting point for that. But from there, you have to go through a somewhat awkward process to zoom in and find your area of interest, and then put down a point marker that enables the app to figure out which maps cover that point. And those are displayed to you after you click on the point, and then you get to select which map you want and download the GeoPDF. These typically are running 18 megabytes or so. So not very small. So that's the first part. The second part is enabling your Adobe Acrobat or Adobe Reader to take full advantage of the data sets. And to do that, you need to download an add-on from TerraGo Technologies, the folks behind the GeoPDF, to add on to your reader, and that gives you advanced tools that allow you to manage the layers better, do some measuring of linear and area features, key in lat-long coordinates and find them on the map, or find the lat-long coordinates of a particular location on the map. Finding the tool to download and then installing it may not be as intuitive as one might hope. I had a hard time because I'm not really sure what the name of the product that I'm trying to download is. It seems to be referred to by different names by the USGS and by TerraGo. The other thing that I would have hoped that USGS would have made more clear is that this toolbar is only available for Windows. And that's fine, but it'd be nice if that was set up front so those of us on Macs didn't go hunting around to see if we could find it. Now, the good news is, once you go through this process and you get your quad sheet and you get the toolbar installed, it's a pretty nice experience. The files are kind of big, so I didn't find the responses as quick as I might have liked on my desktop machine, but the data looked quite nice and the tools were quite powerful.
Yeah, I have to agree. And if you go to the U.S. Topo website and you look at the example that they give for the Coffeeville Quad, you can download the Coffeeville Quad. And it does take a while to download, but you will be asked to install the GeoPDF applet there. But when I did it, of course, it loaded directly into my browser. Having done that, having accepted the fact that I wanted it to load, yes, you're presented with a wonderful map, and I think some of the ways to interface with the quad sheet are great. I mean, again, it's easy to use, it's intuitive, you turn it on and off the layers. So I find it quite nice. I think the thing that I wanted to bring up was, what's the objective now of using this data? Can we bring this data mobile? Since we typically use topo maps, again, for the average person, to take these maps and go somewhere.
Well, I have to believe that's where we're going. And whether that's an application that USGS offers or TerraGo offers or some third party, I'm sure it's going to appear very soon. And we're still very early in this process. I mean, the only full U.S. topos we have are for Kansas. So this is part of a process. I think the final product as it stands now is really quite successful. It's the process of getting there for the average citizen is still a little bit rocky, and I hope that'll get tightened up, because I think people are going to be very excited about using the GeoPDF toolbar. So I guess if we're going to contrast these two new offerings, our general sense is, if you can stay close to what people already know, say a Google map or a PDF, users are probably going to be much quicker to take advantage of what you have to offer. If it's difficult to navigate, or they need to learn something that looks very, very different from what they've had before, it's going to be a lot more challenging.
Yeah, I think that's a good point about people are very familiar with using PDF files, and this little add-on to be able to turn on or off the layers, zoom in, zoom and pan, very typical, very standard ways of interfacing with any type of document. This just puts it in map form. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to ask you to join the Spatial Roundtable, ESRI's online forum for GIS thought leaders to share their opinions about business and organizational challenges in the geospatial community. New discussion topics are featured monthly and cover an array of industries, including insurance, utilities, and healthcare. Join the discussion at www.spatialroundtable.com. If you would like to comment on today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave us a comment in the comment box on either Directions Magazine or All Points blog. And I'd like to remind you that the podcast is syndicated on iTunes, so don't forget to subscribe and download the podcast weekly. You can also follow us on Twitter at Directions Mag or Directions APB. And we at Directions Media would like to remind you to voice your opinions in our 2009 reader survey. We'll provide the link in the show notes. If you complete the survey, you'll be entered into a random drawing for an American Express $25 gift certificate or an Amazon Kindle, this holiday season's hot gift item. Again, thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend. I was losing my voice.
Okay, I'm going to stop that and make sure we...